As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, welcome to the From the Shadows podcast. I am your host, Shane Grove. And not with me, again, is Jason, the super producer. I did talk to him today for quite a while. And the best way to put it is he said to tell everybody he'll be back soon because, man, you and the Howler really need some help. So he's not too far off on that assessment. You know, I think the Howler and I are just, it's just within our reach to record episodes and get them up so everybody can listen to them. So, you know, once again, we apologize that they may not be the best quality, but, you know, look, we're just the beauty behind the operation. We're not the brains. So, you know, Jason's the brains, but he says to tell everybody thank you still for the prayers and the well wishes and the thoughts. He's getting a little bit better every day. And I think he might be back next week for maybe one or two episodes. So with that, I want to remind everybody before we start the episode that if you have a story or an encounter or just anything you want to talk about with us, get a hold of us at the From the Shadows podcast Facebook page or the After the Shadows Facebook forum page. You can find me on Instagram at Shane Grove Author or find our Instagram From the Shadows podcast or go to fromtheshadowspodcast.com and hit the contact button and you can get a hold of me and we'll answer back. I promise. Okay. So, because we'd love to talk to you. And if you have a great story, we'd love to have you on the show. So with that, I've been super excited, waiting patiently to have these two gentlemen back on. They're both previous guests and they went on a little expedition to find some answers and they're joining me tonight. And, to tell you guys, some of the stuff they found. So welcoming back to the program is two of my favorites, Happy and Johnny Two Bears. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing great, Shane.
I'm doing good, man. Really good.
Good. Good. Considering, what you guys are going to tell everybody, I'm just glad that, both of you were able to come back on the show.
share
some experiences.
So, absolutely.
So for our loyal listeners, everybody will know that Happy was a guest on the show, had an experience 30 some years ago that shook him to the core, and that Johnny and him kind of hooked up through the subject of Bigfoot and. Right. That's how you guys got.
Yeah.
Got to. Oh, yeah.
Captain Joe,
who was a recent guest, and that, you know, Johnny basically strong-armed, I mean, coerced, I mean, convinced Happy into going back and kind of facing what happened and just see what was still out there. So I'll let you guys jump into how this all kind of started and what happened not too long ago.
Happy, you want to kind of real quick go over the story and why?
To touch briefly on it, I met Johnny through Captain Joe. Captain Joe and I had similar experiences, very close to one another. And he thought that Johnny and I should get together and talk. This was when we were first forming my relationship with all of this. And Johnny and I started talking, told him what was going on. And whammo bammo, I guess, 6 months later, we go out in the field and here we are.
Yeah. So Johnny, when you first heard Happy's story, what did you think? Like, what was your first reaction to that?
Well, I mean, there's a couple ways of looking at it, but you know, when you hear a story like that from somebody you don't know, everybody is going to be like, you know, is this guy embellishing? You know, what did this really happen? Blah, blah, blah. And that's why I like our group. And what we do is we take the time to get to know people, and you get to know people on a personal level. And you find out, you know, he's as solid as they come. And his experience, just from a research point of view, it told me one thing. You know, there's a lot of people that they may have a sighting. Maybe the creature's just passing through. Maybe they have, you know, they find the structures, the footprints, they get a rock thrown, something like that. And we hear about that stuff all the time. But Happy's story, to me, not only did these creatures had a couple different options. They could have seen him and just left, but they chose during the day to sneak up behind him and approach. Now, I don't know, no idea what their intentions were, but then for him to wake up however many minutes later, sitting in the front seat of his truck and not know how he got there, that told me that these things really wanted him out of there. So much so that they picked him up and they carried him out. And that's not something you hear a lot. So to me, that says they don't want to leave. That is their area and they want this human out. So it was very, very intriguing. And then you throw together the fact that it's only 20 minutes down the road from Captain Joe's property and he's having activity out there, just only made sense for all of us to try to come together, talk it out, get a game plan, and go out there and see if we could, you know, this is a huge area. How many acres is it, Happy?
At one point it was like 1,700, all owned by the same folks, but as you heard, it's been broken up. And it's now right at about 350 contiguous, somewhere around in there. But it's all still agrarian, and it's none of it's going to ever be built in condos and stuff like that. It's farm.
And there's like a square. What's a square country mile is what, 600 and some acres maybe?
I think it's something like that. I'm not sure on the math there.
Yeah. So that is, in fact, I'm going to look it up. Just because I want people to get an idea of how big this area is.
Yeah, I did send you some pictures as well to kind of get. I mean, I don't know if it was visually and all that, but yeah, I mean, it's just fields.
Yeah. So here you go. There's 640 acres in a square country mile, and like where I live, when I go down the road, there's an old horse farm. There was a harness racing farm. And they owned, the people that live there on the property now still own this whole, so it's wide open because it's all pasture land. So you could see what 640 acres all by itself really is. And when you start thinking that's three times that much almost, it's unbelievable. Like it's an unbelievable. And then you've thrown woods on top of it, right? It's basically covered in woods. That just is an unbelievable amount of acre area for something to hang out in and never be discovered, you know?
There's only how many family members go out there? Was it like four or five adult men that frequent the area?
At most. You know, not many people at all.
And I will say, if their intentions were to get Happy out of there and keep him out of there, they did a pretty good job.
I have to agree.
Kept him out of everywhere for 30 years.
I do want to say, as far as I don't know if I was carried or not. I'm not comfortable saying that I was. I honestly don't know what happened. Okay. That's something that, to embellish it, it sounds good, but I can't for sure say that happened. So I'm just throwing that out there as a qualifier. I don't know what happened.
Well, there's a 50-50 chance, right? You either blindly stumbled back to your truck and got in and sat down, or something picked you up by the scruff of your collar and said, okay, get out. You need to get out of here.
Yep. And I'm just, but like I said, I just wanted to say that.
It's pretty telling and incredible. Like, if you to imagine being so scared that you just blindly end up back in your truck. Like, I would think if you were so scared that you had no idea what you were doing, you'd end up in the middle of the woods. You just take off running,
or in the creek that was right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, absolutely. I mean, like I said, I can't say.
I understand, and that's pretty fair of you to come out and say that. Just like, hey, I don't know, but I mean, of course, there's only a couple options, and
we all know what the other ones say. I really don't want to think about the other ones.
You don't want to think about it scooping you up in your arms and just kind of rocking you like a little baby. So now, Johnny, you got Happy convinced. Okay, we're going to go back out there. What is your guys's number one? What are you hoping to find? How do you kind of put this little expedition together? And what's your plans as you head out there? Like, how are you going to approach this?
Well, we got a small team. It's me, Happy, Captain Joe, Scott DeForest, which is another friend. He's a researcher. He's actually part of the group now. And a guy named Joey Bruce. He goes by Lone Wolf out of Florida. He's basically a friend of a friend I met down there, and he drove up to go out with us. But I looked at it on a topo map and just looked at his property lines, everything in the area. Where Happy had, I didn't have a great idea where he had his incident, but I had a pretty good idea and just tried to look at, there's a big swamp there and a really, really nice big creek that runs through there. There's all kinds of, it's just farmland and woods as far as you can see. It's just perfect. So we pretty much got the plan together, and the property owner, all of us met up. And we drove out there and we got out. Property owner kind of drove down a real bad muddy road. He took a loop, and there's everything. It all started, in fact, where Happy had his incident was on this big gas line. And just in case people don't know, gas lines are just like power lines. It's nothing but, I don't know how wide it is. What is it? 40 yards across. And then,
it
goes as far as you can see. And it's nothing but, a clear field basically with short scrub brush or grass, and they keep it cleaned out. But on either side, there's woods. So we went through, we got out and we walked through this little stretch of woods, and we came out on that gas line. And Happy, we were all just kind of looking around, getting our bearings. And Happy was kind of going up the gas line. The initial plan, first thing first, is just to get his story again from where it happened to see if he could find it. Well, we didn't even make it that far because probably 5 minutes after getting into that clearing, Scott DeForest found tracks. There was a deer feeder right there and on one side, and that deer feeder kind of comes in play later on. And then closer to the other side of this clearing is where Scott found tracks. Well, when he found tracks, he's looking down, looking at them. I walk up to a track. And there's one where I'm at. And Scott's got a whole trackway. He's got, I think in that clearing, there was maybe 5 or 6 separate tracks. And we're all just kind of shocked, not really shocked, but just kind of excited. Like we're right there in the same area. And this starts out great, of course. You know, we've got these tracks. So we follow the tracks and we split up into two teams, basically. Me and Scott keep following the trackway and we're trying to see where it went. So we're going one way, and the other group, which is, who was it? It was Happy, Joe.
And Joey.
And Joey. And Joey kind of split off kind of on his own a little bit. But anyway, while we're doing our thing, me and Scott trying to follow this track or trackway, they call us, hey, guys, come look at this. So we get back together and walk in the direction where they're at, and we walk up on, and I'd never seen this before. It was a big, huge pile of pine straw. It was a perfect circle pine straw bed. It looked like someone stood in the center, like got down on their hands and knees and drug all the pine straw. Imagine a donut, but the hole is the pine straw. And then right in the middle of the pine straw is this dip. Like, and I even, if we made a short documentary about it, but you'll see, I even lay down in it, and it's big enough for me, probably something bigger. And Happy, you want to talk about it?
It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. I mean, we were just walking through the woods and came up on it, and it was probably about, what do you think, 10 feet around. And I mean, you know, I used to spend a lot of time in the woods. I don't anymore. I don't know what it is. Don't know what it was, but I've never seen anything like it. It just kind of floored me.
Well, and I've seen, like, so I've seen what you guys, you know, I saw what you guys put up. And so let's, and here's what I would say is, so if you were we're all human, okay? Mm-hmm. So if you got lost out in the woods and you were cold and you wanted some place to sleep that might provide some warmth and keep you off the wet ground, that's what you would do, right?
That would have been perfect.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So no other animal that I know of, really, that bears don't do that, I don't believe, right? I mean,
no.
Even an animal couldn't have done this just because of how perfect it was. Like it was almost the ring around the outside circle was just perfect. It was an absolute perfect circle from whatever did this, drug the pine straw from the outside to the inside. And it was almost perfect around it. I mean, I've seen stuff kind of like that before, but in person, I'd never seen anything like that. And I'd never seen it so obvious.
So either we have a human did it, we have a Bigfoot did it, or you have a new phenomena and it's an alien.
Right. Some kind of,
it's a pine alien. Instead of a crop circle, the aliens are laying. Making pine straw circles.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
But I mean, I know what you, so I mean, there's only so many things that are going to do this. Mm-hmm. And it's either there was a human out there that was lost and got, and let's be honest, I'm not trying to make a perfect circle. I'm just trying to keep warm. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so, if a human did it, they intentionally hid their tracks.
Yeah,
because there was no, the only tracks in that area were just a few small deer tracks in that area. And there should have been, like, they went, it went down to the dirt. So they pulled everything off the top of the ground to where it's just, you know, almost perfect dirt around the outside ring. And there were no tracks at all.
Well, okay, So I'm listening to you guys tell this. So now I want to ask that. So where were the Bigfoot tracks in that circle or in that dirt around there?
Well, we'll get we're kind of skipping ahead there, but okay. I mean we can go ahead and go there though, because it's that's pretty much what we found on the first day. That's all we found. But the second day, that was pretty much it, wasn't it, Happy, on the first day?
Yeah, that was it. We took it because it started raining.
Right. So the second day, we went back out to the same area. And we went back. I got some more video of that bed. And we kept on going. And now we're headed kind of towards the swamp and the creek area. Well, probably... God, it wasn't even 50 yards away from the initial bed. We find a second one, but it's older. The water level, it obviously, because of the rain the day before, I don't know how many days it rained following three, up to this. Yeah, was it three?
3 days, I think. 2 or 3 days. Good set in rain.
Right. So which was actually good because it helped us out. You know, the ground was still wet. But the second bed was just like the first one, except it was obviously a lot older, and there was an actual what I believe is a Sasquatch track right in the middle of it. Like one, I don't know, guessing, stood up to get out of bed or something. But it was obvious that the first bed that we found, it had to have been made. Like maybe the day before,
yeah,
or that day.
Oh, okay.
That morning. Yeah, I mean,
that's how fresh the other one was. The second one we found was obviously a lot older than that. So this homeless guy apparently was good with still sleeping out there in his pine straw bed and moved it.
In the middle of nowhere.
Right. So
I think a homeless guy's even gonna steal a tent. I don't think.
Yeah.
Just gonna be honest with you.
You need to find him and send him over to Ukraine, because this homeless man is very hard. He's a hard son of a bitch.
It was rough out there, man. It was wet, and it was nice in the daytime. It got pretty chilly.
Yeah, the weather went good. But on so that's the second day we found that, and we kept, basically the only thing that happened after that was me and Joe, we got ahead of the group. We got to the creek and we spooked something. I don't know what it was. All this is on video too. It's all in the documentary. You'll be able to see it all. But he heard something moving up ahead of us. And I got in front of him, went a little ahead and then spooked something. And there is a kind of a bamboo area, a bunch of bamboo. Whatever it was, ran. It sounded like maybe 15 feet, and then just that was it. No more movement, no more nothing. And I got a little too excited. I tried to make a little impromptu bridge across the creek. It didn't quite work.
We christened the amphibious horses.
Did you get that on video? Did you get that on video? Okay.
But I didn't put it in the documentary. But I'll send it to you personally you can laugh at me.
Okay. Like we got to wait for the deluxe DVD edition.
Right.
The blooper reel. Okay.
The director's cut.
Yeah. So I dunked myself. I went back in there, looked around. I didn't find anything obvious. We didn't hear anything move again. We don't know what that was. But that was really the only thing that happened that day. Or that's the second day. So that night, we decide that me, Happy, and Scott DeForest are going to stay there in that initial area where we came in at, where we found the tracks and where the feeder is. And everybody else, for whatever reason, a few of them went back to the cabin, and then the property owner, he went home. And we didn't plan on spending the night because we had a cabin. We're spoiled. We had a cabin 20 minutes away. But we were going to hang out there and see what happens. So, I don't know, maybe about an hour and a half into being there, we hear three howls, very obvious howls. Now, it's, I think their odds are they're probably canine.
Coyote.
Right. Either dog or coyote. I'm going to go with coyote. But that wasn't the interesting part. What the interesting part was what we missed in the recording. And I do have this. I put out audio recorder on one end, probably about 50 yards away on the other side. And then I put a GoPro on top of my vehicle. My vehicle was parked where the gas line is. So I put a GoPro on top of the hood, and then we were all hanging out behind my vehicle. We built a fire, and that's where we were at. So after this howl, these three howls, we're like, okay, cool, howls, blah, blah, blah. Well, what we didn't realize is that after these three howls, the GoPro caught something in the woods that was very close to us, and it makes like three huffing noises, and it's... I'm not even going to attempt to describe what these noises are. You're just going to have to just watch the documentary. But we did not hear those in person. But, you know, luckily we had the GoPro up there.
So, but you, so let me get this straight. So you heard some, so you did hear stuff, and then the GoPro picked up some other stuff at the same time.
Right. So we're, and the reason why we missed it is because there's three howls, three individual howls, one after the other. And on the third one, during the end of the third howl, is when we pick up this vocal. And it was basically these huffing noises, like a caveman over in the woods talking, is basically what it sounds like. Well, we don't hear this.
But where we were, the way we were sitting was also about 10 or 12 feet from the GoPro, if not more than that as well. Because right. It was set on the hood of your truck, correct, Johnny?
Yeah, we were. I show a picture of our exact location and everything, again, in the documentary. So imagine I've got a Bronco, and it's parked maybe 20 feet away from one side of the wood line, and then we're behind the Bronco about 10 feet. So from where that wood line is, that's where these huffing noises come from. So we missed that completely. Well, maybe an hour later, we just been talking all night, going and getting wood. The only strange thing that we had really had up to that point was I had a parabolic microphone out there. And every time it was just me too. I don't know why. I didn't have any electronics on me or anything like that. But anytime I would walk in the woods and Happy would put that parabolic on me, he would get some kind of static, some kind of feedback.
Really?
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was only me. We even switched out. We had Scott would walk out there and we would test it, and then Happy'd walk out there, and the only person it would do it on was me, and I didn't have anything on me at all.
What are your fillings made of?
My what?
Your fillings in your teeth. Like
I don't have fillings, man. None in my teeth and none in my heart, you know? I had no fillings.
I ain't got no feelings.
No, but I don't know. You know, there's a
couple I can't explain that either. It was the weirdest thing. You turn it, and Johnny'd walk out, and it's static, and he'd walk back in, and the static would go away. I have no explanation for that.
That's kind of, and see, there goes, you know, that's stuff that's going on that's just not natural. You know, yeah. That means like there's a little bit of something else at play there in my mind. But what, you know, my mind's kind of warped. But I'm just saying
I've seen it time and time again, man. And I mean, I'll say 100% that, you know, I think these Sasquatch, whatever they are, they're flesh and blood. But there is something else that is either connected to them or following them or somehow connected that's, I don't know, beyond flesh and blood. And I don't know what that...
A click off.
They may not even have anything to do with each other. I don't know. All I do know is that a lot of times these weird electrical... We've got, not to go too far into a tangent, but Scott DeForest went with our other partner, Angie, 2 weeks after we got back. They went to the Okefenokee Swamp, and they had some really crazy experiences with orbs and just some other real electronic stuff. So it's very common for whatever reason. It's a very common side effect to all this. And I don't claim to know what it is. I just know it exists.
Well, I'm glad. I just do not like it when people just draw the line in the sand and say they absolutely don't have anything to do with each other, because they have to if people are seeing them together. Okay.
Well,
which they don't. Like, but I like your explanation of it may just be following alongside, and they may not even know, they may not even understand what's going on.
To me, I'm not a math genius or anything, but statistics, I mean, it's kind of hard to argue with statistics on a lot of things, but the probability of having these orbs and these electrical interferences happen along with Sasquatch activity just being random, I would think would be astronomical. You know, I mean, it'd be one thing if it happened every once in a while, but we're seeing this happen. And I noticed when I first got into this years ago that, you know, I've talked to several different researchers that have been doing this for a long time, and they don't talk about it openly. But if you get them, you know, on a phone call and you get to talking and you're being honest with each other, a lot of them will come out and say, yeah, man, I've seen the same thing. These orbs are extremely common with this. You know, it's just a related phenomenon. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know what it is, but you can't ignore it. You can't just throw things out because you don't understand it.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Or it doesn't fit your narrative.
Right.
Exactly. But, I mean, for how many years, 50, 60, 70 years, the government and everybody else tried to discount the fact that people were seeing, you know, spaceships or UFOs or whatever, and then finally come out and said, well, okay. I mean, it's just not everybody, like you said, statistically impossible for everybody to just be imagining something or lying or making it up, that there's not a certain percentage that truly do see and experience everything they're talking about. You know, and, you know, so I don't know. I just feel like if you're going to, you got to really have an open mind. Okay. You really do. Because I walk, this is totally off. I'm saying, but as I'm walking during the day on the mail route, I wonder, okay, does somebody, this car in front of me in the driveway, do they experience this car looking at it the same way I do?
Right.
Like, do you, you know what I'm saying? Like, do you
take shared that perception?
Do you see it the same way I do? The same shade, the same, like the tires look the same. And so it comes into where, like, if somebody, you know, we talk to people all the time that see ghosts. You know, they see spirits, but the person right beside them will not see the same thing they're seeing. Okay. So does that mean that the one person is not really seeing that? Or does that mean the one person is not acknowledging what they're seeing, or that they're seeing the same thing, but in different perspectives, you know? And so until you kind of understand that, how can you discount what anybody says? Because everybody's looking at it from a different perspective, and they're trying to put it in a different, you know, whatever box that is familiar with them. And yeah, I do understand people saying, I cannot, it's hard enough for me to wrap my head around that there's a giant ape running around. Right. But now you want me to say that that giant ape climbed out of a tennis-sized ball of light coming from another dimension? I can't do that.
Right.
Well, I can't do that, you know?
So. Well, you also have to think, if you're sitting there talking about a giant ape, you would kind of think that you would be open-minded enough to explore other possibilities as well. But unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be the case all the time, does it?
No, and the people that say, so they've really come, they've really like, yes, there is a giant ape out.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Here, but there's nothing else,
right?
You know, they're so convinced, that there's a giant ape. No, so they've
that's
really,
what I'm saying.
Yeah, they go like, okay, we know this, but don't talk to me about anything else.
Right. That's just completely off.
Yeah, that's just nonsense. And I have a good friend, and he'll listen to this podcast, and he'll text me or whatever and say, you know, I really was buying that guy's story until he saw a ghost.
Right.
I have the same kind of conversation with him. Is like, well, some people just experienced that. It's like, once you open that door a little bit, it seems like I just talked to so many people off the air and on the air that, it's like once they crack that door open, it just gets kicked open and they just start experiencing all sorts of things. And you just, I don't know how to explain that. Cause I really think you can see stuff or experience stuff, or you're so closed off that you just aren't going to see or experience anything no matter what. You know, I think that's just how it is. I think if you're open to, because I'm with you, Johnny. I think there's something else to these, to Bigfoot and Sasquatch. There's a spiritual type of, I don't know that there's another dimension, but I think there's a spiritual type of component to them that is supernatural, for lack of a term. And that doesn't mean like they can fly or, you know, burn buildings down with their eyes or anything. I just think there's a, like there's an in tune with nature kind of spirituality with them that makes them just a little bit different than just an ape running around in the, you know, running around in the woods.
It's very possible, you know, and with the, and there's other aspects of it too that, you know, they may not even, these two phenomena, let's say the orbs and the Sasquatch, may not even be connected at all. Like, we may not even be able to understand the reason why they both happen at the same time. Maybe we just simply can't wrap our heads around it because we don't know really everything that makes up the fabric of our reality. You know, everybody, humans, we're the worst of thinking that we've got something figured out. You know,
we don't know anything.
I mean, like, you know, aspirin, for God's sakes, you know, how long has aspirin been around? You know, you take a baby aspirin a day for, you know, prevent heart attacks. And then they come out and say, oh, well, aspirin may cause bleeding on the brain. So maybe don't take it for it. It's like, that was aspirin. We couldn't figure aspirin out, you know?
Yeah.
We got all this other stuff out here.
Let alone orbs.
So. Right. But, so that was, like I said, we missed that. We didn't even, luckily we just got those huffs on the recording, and timeline wise, it was maybe an hour after that, that we're all sitting around talking, and I heard what sounded like a thump or something behind me. My back is to the woods. Woods, again, same tree lines about 20 feet away. And you'll hear in the video, I said, do you hear that? And they're like, no, what'd you hear? And I'm like, I don't know. It was like a thump or something. And right after I say that, a rock hits my vehicle. And it goes, dunk. And I'm going to warn everybody now, if you do go find the documentary or watch it, at this point, I'm cussing like a sailor. And I'm sure both of them are, too. Because one, I got a brand new vehicle. Somebody just threw a rock at it. One.
So you don't care. Two, you don't care if it's a, yeah. Well, and you don't care if it's a Bigfoot or if it's, you know, somebody playing a joke on you. It's like, right. Come on. Don't mess with seriously.
Right. And you said,
you're like, hit Happy in the head with a rock. Don't.
Yeah, or hit me, man. You know, throw it at me, for God's sakes. But the GoPro picks it up, and you hear us all say, it goes, chink, and I said, do you hear that? And they're both, yeah, I heard that, blah, blah, blah. And then there's another huff or a grunt?
It's a kind of a grunt, and then you can hear all of us say, I heard that.
Right.
And about point, remember the smell, and it wasn't a stinky smell. It was it smelled like, my definition is pluff mud. I don't know if you know this, a real sulfury decay.
Smelling that like right before all that happened?
Yep. It floated up and then it backed off and then it floated back up again.
And that's the first time I've ever experienced that myself. You know, you hear that all the time where there's a musty smell or smells like a garbage can or whatever. But that's the first time I'd ever smelled
it. But it was just a smell. It was the swamp where they live. I guarantee you they had swamp mud all over. But that's what I smelled.
Right.
So at that point, we hear the huff and you can hear us all say, I heard that. I heard that. I heard that too.
Well, so after that, probably my favorite part of the whole thing and all the recordings is after we say, yep, I heard that. Now, all these are recorded, and I went through and I amplified the recording. You're going to be able to hear all this, really, the huffs, great. You can hear them really, really well. And after we say, yep, I heard that, Happy grabs his flashlight, and he turns it on real quick. And me and Scott are like, no, turn it off. And he turns it off just as quickly. Well, for that night, that was pretty much it. We didn't hear anything else. But when I got home and went through the recordings, whenever Happy turns his flashlight on, you hear whatever's in the woods go, like it's mad that Happy turned the flashlight on. Now, we didn't hear that.
No,
but it picked up in the audio on the GoPro, and it's, out of everything, that was probably my favorite. Just the knowing that
it's reacting to him
turning this flashlight on and being that close. I think there was two of them. I think there was one. It's hard to imagine, but say we're sitting around the fire and I turn around and I look at the woods. I think there was one to our left, up past my Bronco, and I forgot this part. During the whole sequence of this going on, every couple minutes you hear a mouth pop. It goes, but we never, I haven't even gone through all the video yet, and there's at least seven or eight of these mouth pops, but we never heard any, not one of them. But it sounds just like the whatever other witnesses or researchers have witnessed or recorded, and it's a mouth pop. I don't know why we didn't hear it. What the most sense is that it was a lot closer than I thought it was, because that GoPro's picking it up and it's obvious. And then I think there was also the one, again, if I'm staring at the wood line, there's also one to our right, probably a little closer than the other one. And that's the one that does the grunting. But we were, I mean, happy. You talk about how you felt after that, man, and what, take it away.
I wasn't as scared as I thought I was going to be, I'll tell you that. After all that happened, it really was, it was kind of cathartic to me. And like Johnny likes to say, I feel vindicated. Yeah, after all these years of wondering what the hell I really did see or didn't see and why I wasn't in the woods, it felt good to have other people out there validate with me that we're not imagining things. And there's something out there, man. We're all convinced now. And, you know, there are two of them that snuck up on us. And what scares me to death is we didn't hear any of that. We didn't hear, you know, we heard what they wanted us to hear, is what I'm thinking. And I'm still kind of processing it, guys. I really am. It was fantastic, and I'm not going to go out there by myself, but I'll do it again.
Well, we're already planning. Captain Joe gets back in town, we're going to head out there again. So
no. Yeah, Happy, you didn't even know it. You're already going back.
Yeah.
You got me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right, sorry about that. Time even a year and a half ago that we'd be sitting here talking about this, I don't think it would be. I would have told you you're crazy. I'm not going to do it. But
I got to be honest. The first time I ever talked to you about this, I never thought you'd be going back, for sure.
Well, you know, never say never, right? Yeah.
Well, I think that's the best part of all this is just happy being able to. I mean, I know how it feels to have people, you know, really just straight up not believe you. You know, I mean, I don't really care all that much. I mean, I do care, but I keep a small circle. And if I'm telling the truth, then I'm sorry. You're just going to have to deal with it. I'm not going to feel bad about telling the truth. And I know how it, I mean, Happy had to keep this bottled up for almost 30 years, you know, and I was just really, really happy that we were able to find that, you know, and to give some valid, and we're not done. There's more to find out there, I believe.
Absolutely.
So we're going to keep hitting it, you know.
We're going back.
Well, the only disappointing part of this to me is that you guys did go back, because then Happy goes, hey, anytime you get down to Georgia, you're going to come and go. And I don't have an excuse. I don't have an excuse to say why I can't go, because I didn't get drugged. Or what, I didn't pass out and get drugged back to my truck. I'm just chicken. And, you know, and so I'm kind of disappointed that you got him to go back out there, because now I look like even a bigger chicken. So,
yeah. Well, I think a lot of it also had to do with the company and who I was going with.
I would agree.
Really, really good group of guys, and I definitely felt comfortable around them, and that made all the difference in the world. I knew nobody was going to jump in the truck and leave me.
Oh no, that never happened.
You know, absolutely, and you know,
I might pull Joe's leg off and leave him, but you know.
Well, yeah, just gotta have one flow guy.
Well, in case you didn't listen to the interview with Joe, I did bring that up to him.
I don't think Joe has to worry about much.
I told him, I said, well, make sure you're a good shot. You can get one of them as they run off, and then you can crawl. Then you can hop past them as they lay there.
Everybody listening to this is like, are they talking about a guy with one leg? That's terrible.
Then they have to go back. They have to go back and listen to the Captain Joe.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The background on that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But I think this is, I mean, listening, you know, knowing all three of you guys now and getting to know your guys' stories and not just having you on, but, you know, talking to you guys off the, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I hope that that our group text message never makes it out to anybody because,
be jobless.
Yes. But it's, you know, you get to know you guys and understand, you know, that, yeah, we do have fun and we do make light of some things. But this is serious stuff. I mean,
absolutely.
Like Happy going back out to the spot and then you guys experiencing this. Like, and that's what I was going to ask you, Happy. Like, the first time when you walked back out onto the property, like, was it surreal or were you taken right back to that time 30 years ago?
It was really surreal to go back, and fortunately that my buddy was with me, and I never really told him what happened, and he still didn't believe us to a certain extent. I think we opened his eyes by the end of it, but it was very, very surreal, and like I said, it was very cathartic, and in a sense, and I think I even say it in the film, is that, you know, it's coming home to me. I grew up out in those woods, and it really was a tonic that I needed to get back out there. It's something that's been missing from me, and these guys helped give that back. And I'm thankful for that, and you know, I'm glad to be able to get back out in the woods.
Yeah, and I do hear a lot of people I've talked to and a lot of people I hear on other shows, it completely changes their life to where they were like you. They something they love doing, they just stop doing. And so I really do hand it to you, that getting back on the horse, so to speak, and facing your fear, you know?
It only took 30 years, but thank you very much.
No, there you go. I mean, look. Sometimes that's what it takes, right?
Yeah. Time heals all wounds.
Well, he didn't just, you know, take us out there and then get answers and then he's good. He's doing this with us. Like, he joined the group. He's now doing Sasquatch research, you know? I mean, he's taking the plunge altogether, man.
I can't blame you. I mean, because I can imagine with something like that happens, you do want to find more answers. It's like,
I want to know,
you know.
And well, it is. It can definitely turn into an obsession, you know.
Well, I want Johnny, tell everybody where they can go and watch this documentary, or what you have up so far, or is what you have up so far, are you putting up, or are you going to put up some more stuff?
No, that's it. I may go back that's and put, okay. I've got a lot of the, like I said, I had the GoPro out there. I think I've got like 4 hours of continual GoPro audio. I mean, it was running, but it's at night, so you're not going to see anything, but there's, who knows what else I'm going to find in there. Hopefully there's something else in there, but I'll put up clips. But just go to, we're on YouTube, and it's the Sasquatch Encounter Brigade, and go on there and... It's loaded. They're individual. I think it's 5 parts. It just made it a lot easier to load. I'm not a computer guy, and it took me about 3 weeks to put all this together, which is a little ridiculous, but it did. But
suddenly, I don't feel so bad about how bad it is for me in the holler to get stuff.
No, don't feel bad at all. I'm just kidding. I can put you to shame, I promise.
I'll tell you what, nobody's as fearless as Johnny as far as jumping in and doing it, though.
Yeah, I'm scared to death.
Have to.
I'm scared to death of losing something and messing it up, for sure. But okay, go ahead before. So go to the YouTube on the Sasquatch Encounter
Brigade. The Sasquatch Encounter Brigade. And it is under the playlist is the documentary, and it's, and like I said, I think it's four or five parts. And you know, that's the whole experience. I know we're What I will do, I know Captain Joe, he talked about it a little bit when you interviewed him, but the last part of the documentary is on the third day, and everybody else left. I stayed behind. Me and Happy stayed behind, or left last to help sweep up and stuff like that, and then Happy left. Well, Captain Joe, he wanted to take me and show me where all the weird stuff had been happening on his property. And he goes and he explains everything again. But anyway, we walk out there. Now, a couple months ago, he had told me that he had cleared, he had used a tractor to clear a new road to get down to a blind that he had in another gas line. And he sent pictures of, he found a dead, I think it was a Rottweiler, was laying in that new road that he cut. And there was other trees and stuff drug across, whatever. That alone wasn't that crazy. But he had also had his feeder and his trail cameras completely destroyed and, like, thrown in the woods. And he said, like, the trail camera wasn't just taken apart. Like, it was ripped apart in pieces. Like, it was smashed and then spread out everywhere. And, you know, he had had weird things happen out there and blah, blah, blah. So we go out there and we're walking up. He's going to show me the dog. And I'm like, well, hey, is this it? He was like, no, that's a new one. It was another dog skull on the same little stretch of road. We're only talking maybe, oh God, maybe a 50-foot long road that goes from one field to another field that he had cut. I'm like, okay. Well, we keep on walking. I'm like, well, here it is. He said, no, man, that's not it. So now there's a third one. We keep going down to where his blind is set up that looks over this gas line where everything was destroyed. And I film him talking about it. Well, on the way out, I'm like, well, we'll try to find how many of these dead dogs are around here. That's crazy. You know, again, go and watch it. By the end of this, we wind up finding 25 canine skulls and numerous body parts in this one area. And we're talking about 2 days before that, we found a freshly killed dog about 100 yards away on the other side of the fence. So altogether, we were only out there for maybe 30 minutes. Altogether, there's been about 26 dogs drug into this area. And there's really no rational explanation. You cannot get to this part of the property on foot. If you were to kill a dog and decide, hey, I'm going to go, and it's right next to his blind. It's only on like maybe a small quarter of acre piece of woods in between these two fields. And it is absolutely covered in dead dogs. I know some of them are dogs. There may be a few coyotes in there. I don't know. But I know for sure a lot of them are domestic dogs because of the size of the skulls. And the even weirder part about that, there's no collars that I could find. But the craziest part is that he only noticed that one dog. And now there's, in that particular area, I think it was 24.
That's
but
crazy.
Some of those skulls had been, the animals had to have been dead for a year or two. But the skulls brought in there. Like, we're talking old. And this stuff is right outside of his blind. There's no way you can miss it. So in between the road that he cut and in between his blind, that whole little section of woods is filled with dead canines.
And so the belief is that
I think they're trying to run him out of there.
Like, they brought him in after he cut all that stuff and said, here you go. Yes. Here you go. It's not like they were there and he just didn't see him.
No, it'd be impossible. He would literally have to close his eyes, have somebody walking to his blind, and then him only look in one direction. That's how obvious all these bones are. I just kept walking. there's really no telling how many are actually out there. Because like I said, we only spent 30 minutes. I didn't do any digging or nothing. I would just walk, find one, count it, and move to another. And
just skulls, no other bones.
No, there were other bones. There are.
Oh, there were.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There's all anywhere from just skulls to full skeletons of the dogs. And there's no, it's hard to imagine the area without looking at it, but we show it in the videos. And there's no, if somebody was going to dump dogs, let's say you had a sociopath killing people's animals.
Yeah.
That would be the worst place in the world to dump them. Number one, you'd have to stop them on the side of the road. You'd have to walk 500 yards and then go up a hill. And then they'd be dumping them right where there's trail cameras in front of a guy's hunting blind. So that's not rational. The property owner is a 60-something-year-old woman that doesn't have anything to do with the property or was a vet, and she breeds dogs, but like little bitty dogs. Like she's an animal lover and a vet. So there's no...
She certainly, even if she was doing it, she's not going to do it where you guys are going to find it.
No, there's no way she would dump them. That would be literally the worst place on that property to dump them. There's a swamp. If you got out at the road and decided to go all the way up the gas line and up the hill to dump these animals, to the right, on the other side is a swamp that you literally can't even get into. So it's really hard to, just the animal bones itself would be weird, but all the other information that Joe's given us about the, you know, and his daughter was out there with him, helping him pick all this stuff up, and the sounds he's heard, and the fact that he was rushed while he was near that swamp. He was rushed by something. He didn't see it, but it was very large. And, you know, Captain Joe's, he's a combat vet. He's as steady as they come when someone's standing there holding a gun, and he's admittedly rattled hunting in this area, and he's hunted all over the world.
And oh yeah. Yeah. For him to get rattled hunting is that doesn't even make sense.
And, you know, it's just, it's all coming together, man. And this isn't the end, you know, we're going to keep going out there. Like I said, we've got trying to plan a trip right now and to get out to both properties again, but it's, you know, we're making progress, and we're going to share everything we find, you know.
Absolutely. But
that's pretty much it.
Well, that's I encourage everybody to go and check out the documentary. I mean, and check and just see for themselves what you guys are talking about, because like I said, the proof's in the pudding, you know, and to hear the vocals and to see those skulls. I mean, I've seen the video of the skulls, and it's just like, I can't believe it. Like, seriously? I mean, I'm a mailman. I'm not really brokenhearted that maybe a dog or two ends up missing.
Okay? I knew it was coming.
You know, I'm not brokenhearted. That's terrible for me to say. But believe me, there's a couple that if...
Wait a second. Where were you at a month ago?
You got a couple on the list, huh?
Ugh. Well, they'd be little tiny skulls because it's those little ones that just don't shut up. So that just part was just like, wow, this is crazy. Like, it just doesn't make it doesn't make sense at all.
It really doesn't.
Like it. So it's the things that you try to make sense of that don't make any sense in our rational or what we think is rational train of thought. That's what really. You know, that's what leaves you scratching your head. And that there in and of itself that's a mystery all by itself, no matter what you want to connect it to. It'd be like, well, who's doing this and why?
Right. And this, you know, there's a lot of reason why we share as much as we do in the process and everything. So I want other people to be able to do it too. And I don't want people to get the impression, though, that everything we find that's weird is automatically Sasquatch. In fact, that's exactly. We try to rule everything else out first. And if there's something like with the beds, the pine straw beds, I started looking up animals and stuff. Now, I knew there was an animal. There wasn't any animals in Georgia that would do that. And there's no animals that I know of in the world that big that would make it that perfect. But we still all went to the internet and looked it up and made sure that, you know, there wasn't some rational explanation. But when you get a situation like at Captain Joe's and you've got the busted trail cameras, deer feeders, then the dogs, the noises he's heard. He even had a, you know, he told the story about the guys clearing the area where their control panel on their tractor that they left out there every night was completely destroyed. You know, all these things put together paint a picture. And that's why, you know, we pick the areas that we do. And these, well, man, what it looks like to me, you know, we kind of hit the jackpot. Hopefully we don't, you know, run them off. But after being there for 30 years, like we kind of proved with Happy, I don't think they're going anywhere. So.
No. And, you know, and I guess if I do get to Georgia and I have time, I will make you guys take me out.
I'll take you to Taylor's Barbecue for the buffet before we go, so you're nice and fat.
That's a good spot, man. I'm glad we went there.
Listen, what podcasting doesn't show you that I'm probably already nice and fat enough. I don't need to go to the barbecue.
Okay. Well, yes, you do. Yes, you do.
But I appreciate you guys coming on and sharing some stuff about this. And I'm glad, happy that you got back out there and faced your fears. And I mean, I'm looking forward to the next trip you guys go out there to keep. Yeah, I love sharing what you guys are doing because I think you guys are all super, super great guys and are earnest in what you're doing. And really put this subject in a great spotlight because I think you guys are people that people can listen to and say I believe those guys, you know, I believe everything they're saying, you know, and I think that's important, you know, to come across as earnest and trustworthy guys for sure.
Well, I know what when you do this. I mean, you are, and I say this all the time, you are instantaneously asking strangers what kind of person they think you are. Whenever you open up, like when Happy has to make that decision to open up to people and to come on your podcast, they are literally giving anyone who listens a chance to instantaneously judge them. What do you think their character is? And, you know, it's extremely hard to do that. And, you know, I congratulate Happy for doing that because it's very hard. You know, it's hard for people to come forward like that. And that's why I enjoy doing what we're doing is to be able to add, you know, those pieces of evidence. And I don't expect, you know, some of the things that have happened to me, I don't necessarily expect everybody to believe every word that comes out of my mouth. But that's why we try to get the evidence. To show you that, hey, these aren't just stories. These are, you can find evidence to put together with the stories and a couple other pieces of information. And anybody can do this if they have the time and the patience and the interest, that it's not some, you know, unreachable task to get your own information and your own, you know, just want to spread the wealth, man. Spread the information.
Yeah. Well, and I do think it helps other people come forward and share their stories. And it is cathartic to be. I know there's people out here listening to us every week. They listen to Wes. They listen to, you know, some of the other podcasts that do Bigfoot and paranormal. And I know definitely those people that are listening that don't want to share. It still does make them feel a lot better to know they're not alone.
Yeah,
that is for sure. So I appreciate you guys, and I hope all of our listeners have enjoyed this, and they'll go check out the documentary and let Johnny and Happy know what you guys thought. You know, when you go check it out, go leave them some comments. Hopefully they're all positive.
Yeah.
I'm not
above criticism, but just be nice. That's all I ask.
just nice.
Hey, there's no reason to not have respect and be nice, because even if you don't agree with everything that is presented, you guys are out there doing the work, you know? So, you know, don't hate on somebody out there going out there and spending their time to do the work. I mean, all the money you guys are getting paid to do this, it's probably worth it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Johnny got that new Bronco, right?
Yeah, man.
With a dent in it. He's got a new Bronco with a dent.
Rock. So. Yeah.
Did you get Bigfoot's insurance information?
I was going to say, that was a hell of a claim to fill out.
Yeah. Did Bigfoot come up with the
deductible? See that Allstate commercial, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Shane, yeah, you could talk to my wife about all the money we're making on this.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, hey, Mother Teresa's patience
for all of this and for giving us the forum to come on and share. And what Johnny said is true, man. We're telling the truth. If you don't want to believe it, you don't have to believe it. But we're going to go out of the way to make sure it is the truth. And everything's not Bigfoot. You just got to look for the stuff that's out of the ordinary.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys, and thank you so much for coming back on. And we'll be in touch. We don't have any choice. Well, you guys have a good night.
Talk to you soon, brother. Y'all have a good
night. All right. You guys have a good night. We'll talk to you.
Cheers.
Bye. Talk to you later. Happy.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.